Good evening. So good to see everyone here this lovely spring evening. It's a beautiful day outside. You got to love Louisville when you can go from mid-February to mid-April in just one day. It's a pretty amazing place. You can't get that just anywhere in the world. Welcome to the Ohio Valley. And welcome to our visitors. I see we have visitors with us tonight. You know, I really like the fact that we start later than the ordinary time. Kind of unorthodox, but it brings just the nicest people our way when they're running late for church services because of the various activities that they're involved in. So we'll just keep that late hour so we can get good people like you to come visit us sometimes. Glad that everybody's here tonight. We encourage everyone to pick up your Bible and be opening up to the book of John, Gospel according to John. And we are going to look in the 14th chapter, John 14, 1 through 6. And if you're looking at a pew Bible right now, that's page 112 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. John 14, starting in verse 1, I encourage you to read along. This is Jesus talking to his apostles shortly before he was going to be leaving them, leaving the earth. He's going to be dying very soon for the sins of the world. And he said there, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Jesus said that I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, but through Jesus. When it comes to a dwelling place on high, when it comes to a room in God's house and his mansion that he has prepared, when it comes to an eternal home in heaven, when it comes to the access to that, the means to get to that place that just most people in the world want to go there, Jesus says he is it. He is the way. He's the only way to get there. Now, the world says that now, there are just lots of ways. A lot of people you talk to, they'll say Buddha can get you to heaven, or Confucius, or Muhammad, or some other so-called prophet or holy man. They say there are lots of ways. But Jesus says he offers exclusive access to the Father in heaven, to a home in heaven. And even people who believe in Jesus believe that there are other ways that you can get to heaven other than just through Jesus. It's very exclusionary. People don't like to think of things in terms like that, especially when it comes to someone's eternity. And they'll say, well, you know, if you're just a decent person, you'll be all right. You'll make it to heaven. Or if you keep the Ten Commandments, that's a really popular one. As long as you keep the Ten Commandments, you're safe. You're going to go to heaven. Or experience some kind of enlightenment, some kind of otherworldly experience in your life, and you'll make it to heaven. Jesus says, no one can get to the Father except through him. You want the mansion on high? Well, if you believe in the Bible, he says he's the only way. You got to take him up on that. You got to believe him. It's quite a loaded phrase there when he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And there's a whole lot more involved in that statement than what's floating there on the surface. You got to dive down a little bit deeper and look and see what's going on with that statement. We're going to do that tonight. And we're not going to exhaust this subject by any stretch of the imagination, but we're going to look at this a little bit deeper. Now, he told them, his apostles, that he was going to prepare a place for them. And he said, "You know the way I am going." Now, the ancient Romans were known for their expansive network of interconnected roads that crisscrossed throughout the empire. And when Jesus said, "I am the way, and you know the way," that's the word that he used for way. It's the Greek word hodos, and it means road, or it means way, or highway. So when Jesus said, "I am the way," he really said, "I am the road that leads to the Father." And maybe the images that sprung to the apostles' minds at this time were the images of the road system there in Rome. You know the way. I am the way. I am the road. You know the road. The road system of the ancient Roman Empire. It was just one of the greatest engineering accomplishments in that time. It was originally built for military purposes, but it came to be used by merchants and travelers of all different types, civilians. Even today, you can see cars riding on some of those very roads that were paved, that were laid by those ancient Romans all those hundreds of years ago, riding on those same roads that the Apostle Paul walked upon. You see a car riding on some of the sections of those roads. It's a pretty incredible thing when you consider that you have such a wonder as that still available for people to walk on and to drive on. But these roads provided travel in all weather as well. The Romans, if they were not the first, they were some of the first people to pave their roads. And that allowed people to travel just at any time, whether it was raining or snowing or what have you. But not just pavement did they apply to these roads. They also crowned their roads. And if anybody here knows anything about how roads are put down today, that means that they were higher in the middle and slanted on the sides, and that allowed for water to drain off of there. And some of these roads actually had gutters in them. So the Roman road system was just an engineering marvel for its time. All roads lead to Rome. You ever heard that statement before? Well, at one time that statement was true. Over 50,000 miles of paved roads, over 250,000 miles of roads in total, paved and unpaved, radiated from the center of a place called the Millarium Aurum. There's a picture of that right there. It means the golden milestone. It was located near the Temple of Saturn, near the Roman Forum. There's artist depiction of that. And from that Millarium Aurum, it radiated these roads throughout the entire Roman Empire. All roads led to Rome. But only one road leads to heaven. Only one road leads to the Father. It's an exclusive road. It's an exclusive way. And that way is Jesus. So let's explore then some of the ways that Jesus is the way. The first thing I'll have you notice about Jesus is that He is the way in the example that He left for people to follow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 23. Open your Bibles there. 1 Peter 2, 21 through 23. We read there, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. And while being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously." Now, when you talk about Jesus being the way, by the example that He led, what we're talking about is the ways of Jesus. Jesus just had the most beautiful ways about Him. He committed no sin. He always did things that pleased His Father in heaven. No sins of commission, no sins of omission. He did everything He was supposed to do. He abstained from doing everything that He was supposed to abstain from doing. And He's our example. Look, we'll never pull that off. We'll never be able to live a perfect life like He did. But we really need to try as hard as we can to do that. And if that's not true, why would the apostle there say that Jesus is our example? Why would he say, follow in His steps? He committed no sin. Why would he even say that if he didn't want us to try to do that ourselves? So important for us to follow the way of Jesus. His way was a sinless way. He loved His Father's will. All He wanted to do was please Him, do the right things all the time. And we should want to do that as well. And we should try to do that. It also said that no deceit was found in His mouth. Jesus never lied in His entire life. He never deceived anyone. He was the way and the what? The truth and the life. Jesus was all about truth. He always told people the truth, even if it meant it was going to be harmful to Himself to do that. He told people the truth knowing that they were going to kill Him for the very truths that He taught. But the truth was just that important to Him. It was more important for Him to tell the truth than to tell a lie and live. It wasn't worth lying to live. The truth was just so important to our Savior. Now, we think that we need to lie sometimes in order to save our own hide, don't we? If we think we're going to get in trouble, what will we do? Maybe it's with our mom or dad. If we've broken something that we know they value very highly, we're thinking right away, okay, how am I going to get away with this? What am I going to tell mom and dad? Instead of just saying, yes, I broke it, we're going to say, well, I don't know, I wasn't in the room when it happened, or it slipped, or my brother did it. We will try to find a way to protect ourselves from harm. Jesus didn't do that. He just told the truth. We'll do that at work as well. We mess up at work, we know it's going to get us in trouble. We might get our pay docked. We could even lose our job. We're starting to think of, how am I going to spin this yarn to save my job? Jesus never thought that way. He never reasoned that way. He never spoke that way. Jesus always told the truth. And that's a great example for us to follow. It's always best to tell the truth. And it says that when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. Now, we don't use that word revile very often. Probably don't even understand what that word means. But basically what that's saying was when people abused him, he didn't abuse them in return. How easy is that to do? That's just real easy to pull off, right? Somebody smarts off to you and you just say, oh, that's okay. You're just having a bad day. No, we want to, hey, he smarted off to me, I smarted off to him right back. I put it right back in his face. You're not going to talk to me that way and get away with it. You know who you're talking to? That's our impulse to do that. People revile us, abuse us, mistreat us. We want to lash out. Jesus never did that. That's not the way that the way responded. That's not the way that the way behaved. He never lashed out at anyone, retaliated against anyone, even though they were reviling him, abusing him. Someone's being a total jerk to us. Folks, I got to tell you, our impulse is just to be a jerk right back. And that gets us nowhere fast. And it said, while suffering, he uttered no threats. Well, it just gets easier all the time, doesn't it, to follow the way of Jesus? It's easy to follow that example, huh? Somebody's causing us pain, somebody's causing us harm. And we're just going to turn the other cheek, right? Well, that's hard to do. He uttered no threats. What do we do when somebody's harming us? Somebody causes us pain. Well, if I get my hands on you, you're going down in a heap. If I ever catch you back in this area again, I'm going to pull out my gun and shoot you. You don't ever come back around here, son. I mean, that's the way we want to behave when somebody brings us harm. That's not the way Jesus behaved. People harmed him. He uttered no threats. A lot of our threats are idle threats. Makes us feel better about ourselves, makes us feel tougher and stronger. Jesus could have threatened people and backed it up. He could have wiped anybody out he wanted to, but that's not the way behaved. If we'd have read further in John chapter 14, we'd have read in verse 9 that Jesus told Philip that when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And that's what Jesus showed us by the life that he lived upon this earth. He showed them the Father by the way he lived. If you have seen him, you've seen God. That's the way God is. That's the way God thinks. That's the way God behaves. And that's the way we should try to behave as well. We need to follow that way. But Jesus is also the way by the things that he taught. Jesus is also the way by the truths that he taught. Once again, he is the way and the truth and the life. Now, Jesus taught things that I just never would have been able to guess up myself. There's just no way. I can't tell you how many times that my ways and Jesus' ways didn't converge. They diverged. They didn't harmonize with one another. They didn't agree. His teaching and my teaching have been different. It's just so many accounts and so many different occasions. I want to talk about some of the differences in Jesus, who is the way, his ways, and me, my ways, who ain't the way. He is and I'm not. My way is get even with people if they mess over me, mistreat people if they make me unhappy. That's the way I'm going to think about things without Jesus. Jesus says in Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you is another way to put that. Yeah, right. I'm going to be able to handle that. Did he really just ask me to do that? He told me to do that. That's the way I'm supposed to live. And look, he didn't just tell me to do that. He showed me how to do that. Once again, he is that example. He didn't just teach us things. He followed his own teaching. He practiced what he preached. My way. Find fault in other people, judge them, criticize them, even though I know that I'm not living my life the right way. Just gossip about people if they're doing something wrong, even though I know I do the same kind of things. What's Jesus say? His way is, Matthew 7 and verse 5, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Why didn't I think of that? I just don't think that way if I don't have Jesus telling me how to think. My way. The more money I have, the happier I am. The more things I accumulate, the better off I am. I just feel better about myself. Jesus' teaching, his way, Luke 12, 15. Beware and be on guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Jesus tells me, life ain't about what you got. Your life is not measured by the pile of junk you have sitting in your front yard or in your house. That's not what your life is made of. That's not what it should be measured against. And he took it farther than that. He said, not only is it not the greatest thing in the world to get, to accumulate things, it's even better to give than it is to get. Really? Is that so? Is that the way we look at life? When do we feel the best? When we're just getting all the stuff we want and when we're giving stuff away? We need to work on that if it really hurts us to part with things. But Jesus didn't just tell me that. Once again, he showed me that. He showed me how to do that. He spent his whole life giving. And man, I don't think that way without him telling me to think that way. My way is me, 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 me. It's about me. Jesus says, Mark 8:34, if anyone wishes to come after him, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow him. That's a hard way. That is a hard way to travel. That's a hard way to walk. A hard life to live. But look, that's what Jesus says we need to do. And we need to listen to his teaching. And once again, he didn't just teach it. He taught me how to do it. He taught you how to do it. I can't tell you how many ways or how many times my way has been at odds with Jesus' way. The way I thought, totally different than the way Jesus taught. But his way is the only way that leads to heaven. So guess what I have to do with my way if I want to get to heaven? Got to toss it out. Guess what you have to do with your ways if you want to make it to heaven? You got to trash them. They're not worth anything. They're not going to get you where you need to go. In John chapter 6, Jesus had just preached a marvelous lesson about who he is and what he came to be. He was the bread of life that came down out of heaven. He gave people everything they needed to be right with their Father. He taught them these spiritual truths. They were taking him literally on these things. When he finally set the record straight, look, the things that I'm telling you are spiritual. They're spirit and they're alive. I'm teaching you about how to live eternally. Well, almost everybody who was following him turned around and stopped doing that. They went the other way. Jesus said in John 6, 67 to 68 to his apostles, you do not want to go away also, do you? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus has the words of eternal life. The things that he teaches us are matters of eternal life, life in heaven, forever. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the what? The life. The things he teaches us, it's all about how to live right, how to live well, how to live the best life we can possibly live, and how to live eternally. It doesn't get any more important than that, than the things that Jesus taught. 2 John in verse 9 says, anyone who has gone too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ, he doesn't have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. Do you want to make it to the Father's house? Jesus is the only way. And we get there by following his teaching. We follow his example, and we follow his teaching. The third way that Jesus is the way is by the way He sacrificed Himself, the sacrifice that He made for us, the life that He gave. Jesus told His apostles in verse 4 there again in John chapter 14. He told them He was leaving them. He was going away. And He said, "You know the way I'm going." Now, this really presented a dilemma to Thomas because he didn't know. He said, "Look, we don't even know where you're going, let alone the way you're going." And let me ask you, what was the way that Jesus was going? Well, He went the way of the cross. That's the way He went back to His Father. We sing the song in number 546 in our songbook, "The Way of the Cross Leads Home." Love that song. That's the only path that led home for Jesus, and that's the only path that leads home for you and me. If Jesus hadn't taken that way home, that very hard way, that very painful way, we'd never have a chance of getting there ourselves. Did you know that? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus," just locking down on Him, just focus on Him with all our mights, "the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." How was He going to get to the right hand of the throne of God in heaven? It was going to be by enduring the cross. There was no other way. We've got to keep our eyes fixed on Him if we're going to get there. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body and through death, in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach." How is He going to make us what we needed to be? How is He going to make us presentable to the Father in heaven? Only by shedding His blood on the cross. He paid our airfare home when He purchased us with His own blood on that old rugged cross. It says there that we were alienated from God. We were estranged from Him. We were in a far distant country, just like the story of that prodigal son. He left his father and he lived a profligate life. And that's what we do when we sin. But through Jesus, through His death, we can walk right up to God, not alienated anymore. We can knock right on the door of that mansion, and our Father will open it up for us and welcome us in, welcome us home because of what Jesus did for us on that cross. When Jesus said, "I am the way," you know what He was doing? He was actually calling us to do something. He was calling us to leave our old ways that lead to destruction and damnation, and to follow Him in His new way that leads to salvation and everlasting life. Think about it again. What were the old ways? Formerly, we were alienated from God. We were hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. That way wasn't cutting it, folks. But through Him, we have a chance. Mark chapter 8 and verse 38 says, "If anyone wishes to come after Me," once again, we read this earlier, "he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." That's how we're going to do it. We're going to follow Him. And in order to do that, listen to it again. "If anyone wishes to come after Me, he must" what? "Deny himself." How well do we do that one? How good are we at pulling that denying self thing off? It takes self-denial and self-control to walk the narrow path. Did you know that? The way of the cross leads home, but it's a narrow little path that Jesus paid for us. You know who always amazed me in the Olympics? It's those guys and those gals who did their thing on that balance beam. You know what I'm talking about, the balance beam? Just that narrow little strip of wood and some of the things that they did. Oh, wow. Just flipped and danced and ran and walked on their hands on this balance beam, some of the positions they got themselves into, there's no way. That's not humanly possible. Are those real people up there? What a demanding discipline that is. I mean, tremendous body control that has to take. You just know those guys and those girls spent hours on end in the gym practicing, disciplining themselves, training themselves. Very strict routine, very strict diet, very strict habits. They had to deny themselves a lot of the pleasures of this world. A lot of fun and games, a lot of junk food, a lot of leisure time to be able to do the things that they're able to do on that little strip of wood. They had to deny themselves in order to control themselves when walking that little narrow strip. And the same's true for us. We have to deny ourselves and exhibit great control of ourselves, or we're going to lose balance and we're going to fall off the narrow way. And it's going to be so much more harmful than falling off a balance beam. I've seen some pretty bad wipeouts. People dismounting from those balance beams. They usually bounce right back up. They got them rubber mats down there. When we fall off our narrow way, it's brutal. It's so harmful. It's so injurious. And it could be deadly. Because we got to get back up and get back on it. If we don't, it's the end of the road for us. The word follow literally means, when he said, take up your cross and follow me, it literally means to be found in the way with. To be found in the same way with somebody. Jesus led the way to heaven. And if we're going to be found in that way with Him, we got to follow Him. That's the path less trodden, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. To follow His example, to follow His teaching, to follow Him in His death. And we'll talk about that in just a few moments. We'll expand on what I mean by that. That's the path less trodden. That's a difficult road to hoe. You and I can make the choice to travel that familiar and ultimately destructive way, or we can follow Him on that exclusive, narrow little path that He's led for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. That's the walk of a faithful child of God. You don't have to see the goal to keep walking toward it. We won't see heaven with these two eyes that we have in our head. We see it by faith. We've got to stay on that path. If Jesus is the way home, if it's through Him that we're going to get there, the question is, how do we get into Him? How do we get through Him? How do we put Him on so that we can get there? How are we initially placed on that road, that narrow way that leads to heaven? Well, Galatians 3:27 says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, have clothed yourselves in Christ. That's how we do it. That's how we start that walk. That's how you get in Him, get your feet on that path. You can't follow Him until you put Him on. And here's what I'm talking about when I said earlier that we follow His example, we follow His teaching, and we also follow in His death. That's how we do that. That's how we follow the example of His death, burial, and resurrection as well. Did you know that? In baptism. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Or do you not know that all who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His what? His death. Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. How do we join Christ in His death? In the waters of baptism. That's how you do it. You put that old man, that old woman of sin to death. Just go ahead and drown them. They're not doing you any good anywhere. They're not doing you any favors. They're not walking the way you need to be walking. And then you bury that old person there, and you rise up a new person, and you're walking in newness of life at that point. You are sharing in His resurrection at that point, and you're going to share in it in reality when He comes back for you. And we stand ready to help you do that this very evening. Go ahead and pick up your songbooks. Let's sing number 336. Just a moment to encourage you, give you an opportunity to think about it, putting on Christ in baptism this very evening. Jesus said in John 15, 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. You got any friends like that? I'll be your friend if you do just what I tell you to do. We don't hang around friends like that very long, do we? That's the kind of friend Jesus is. If you're going to walk with Him, you got to do just exactly what He says. He is a very commanding, a very demanding friend. You know what it is with Jesus? It's His way or the highway. You know where the highway leads, don't you? Matthew 7, 13 and 14, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. That's where the highway leads. And there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. You want to be one of the few? I know you do. Jesus' way, it's just a narrow little slit of a way. And the way He paved and no other way is acceptable. You know, as I've talked to people in my life since I've been a Christian about Christ and about what you need to do to make your soul right with God, and when they've seen the way I've walked, you know, I've been accused of being narrow-minded. I really have. People have said, you just try to walk too fine of a line. You're just too narrow. You know what I say? Thank you very much. Really appreciate that. That's a compliment to me, because it has to be that way if I'm going to make it where I'm trying to go. You got to choose that narrow way if you're going to make it. That broad way, you'll just fall into it by default. Did you know that? You actually have to, with conscience, effort, select the way of Christ and follow it if you're going to get to heaven. Otherwise, you're just going to end up sinning and falling in with the rest of the crowd and walking that broad way that leads to hell. You ready to turn it around right now and get on the right track? We're here to help you. Any way we can do it. If we can baptize you into Christ, we'll do it. We're ready to help you this evening. If we can help you study the Bible more, if we can help you in any way spiritual, if we can pray with you, if we can pray for you right now, you come up here and tell us what you're struggling with, and we'll say a prayer for you right now. Any way we can help you get your life on that right track, on that right path, on the way that leads home to Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. We're standing ready to help you. You come up here and let me know that while we're standing singing.